Rip City, we are back again. What is going on, everybody? I got this is now week two in a row of doing the podcast with a new baby at home, so I'm feeling good about myself. This is Alex. I got Fawad here with me. How are you doing tonight, Fawad?
I'm good. I think it's the first back-to-back weeks this podcast this season. I think we've been off to a bit of an inconsistent start, but hopefully from here on out we're good to go.
Yeah, we're gonna force them out either way. But we have a couple things we wanted to talk about. We got a couple, some people from Discord gave us some questions to talk about, so I'm excited to talk about those. And then there's a couple other topics that we were going to talk about. So first and foremost, since our last podcast, I think we've only had two games or three games since our last one.
I think two.
That's what I thought. Second. It's kind of been a slow
the two wins,
slow week for us. Yeah. So okay, we were talking when the Clippers game was happening, which we lost. That's what it was.
Yeah, we were up big in that.
Yeah, we were winning while we were talking, and then next thing I know, next thing I know, we're down by like 10-15, and I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah, I guess I wiped those LA games from memory. They were easily by far the two worst losses of the season.
Yeah, so if you didn't watch that game, the former Blazer, Norman Powell, pretty much in the fourth quarter, single-handedly put the beat down on us. So for all you people that were ranting and raving that because Norman Powell's not starting and Roko's not starting and all these different things, Norman Powell is still a very good player, and if he's coming off the bench for your team, I don't know about you, Fawad. I'd gladly have Norman Powell coming off the bench right now for us. It would be hard because of all the players we do have, but I mean, he's the type of player where I would be okay with him coming off the bench. I'd even be okay with him starting. Let me backtrack a little bit. I know this year hasn't been as good for him, but I definitely don't think it's because he's washed and over the hill and as much as other people want to throw that out there. I don't know about how you feel about him, but I still think he's a very valuable player to have on a team.
Yeah, I didn't plan on saying this when we started, but I guess I'm about to go on a mini rant right now. I've seen so many people like trashing Powell, saying like, oh, he was so bad for us, and now he's like going off, or like that game he went off, or they're saying like, look how bad he is now, and that's how he was with us too. But wasn't bad for us at all outside of, you know, those what, three playoff games where he was really bad. But he was a good player for us. The issue was he just wasn't, you know, like an all-star for what he was. I was very satisfied with him. I feel like everyone else thought he was pretty good while he was here too. You know, the trade to get him was a little bit questionable, but when he was here, he 100% was, you know, a good player. I'm surprised to see people saying that he wasn't good. I mean, like, that one game against Denver was really brutal where he couldn't hit a shot to save his life, but like neither could CJ, and Roko missed two dunks. So I understand being a little bit salty about that, but to say he was bad for us the entire time he was here, that's just, it's revisionist history. Like people, like Blazers fans thought he was good while he was here too. And his numbers support that too.
Yeah. And let's all be honest here. He was playing out of position, and it's something you and I both have said 100%. Last year, the year before that, you're playing a player out of position and expecting him to perform as if he's playing in the right position on a team that played horrible defense and last year especially had no help whatsoever. You're either going to just be like Simons last year where you're just shooting nonstop and scoring 30, 40 points, but then every game is a loss pretty much because you have no help, or you're just, you're doing what you can to help the team, but you're not going to be the focal point on offense, and he's not going to be out there scoring 20, 30 points a game. I would gladly have him on our team still. the trade that this is why I brought this up. The trade to send him away, everyone saying, oh, you know, we thought everyone was complaining that we got screwed in that trade and now it doesn't look so bad. I think the trade looks a little bit better, but I still don't think that trade looks that good to me. I feel like what we gave up for Rocco and what we gave up for Norman Powell was a lot. Even with Gary Trent not coming back, like we assumed he wasn't going to come back. But, you know, you give two firsts for Covington, and then here you are, you're trading Covington and Norman Powell for Winslow, Keon, and a second round pick. And was there one more person? I feel like there was one more.
That we gave up?
That we got.
Winslow. No, that was it. Winslow. Oh, no, okay. Bledsoe. Did you say Bledsoe?
Oh, was Bledsoe in that trade?
Yeah, he never played for us, but he was part of it.
Oh, I guess that's it. I guess that is how we got him. That's right. So, yeah, Winslow, yes, he's been a pretty good player for us this year. Keon looks to be a promising player. That second round pick, I mean, who knows what we're going to end up doing with that second round pick, because I think it's for this year, correct? Or was that last year's pick? Was that Jabari?
I don't think it was. I don't remember, honestly.
I think it's this year's pick. But either way, had we done like, I don't even, I'm so bad with trades. Like for me, it's easy to like evaluate a trade once it's been like put out there and like, hey, this for this. But just sitting here thinking like, oh, Rocco and someone else, like I'm so bad at it just because financially does it work? Then I have to put in like all these people are so quick to be like, oh, let's just trade Nurk for Miles Turner. And it's like, okay, you want to get rid of Nurk because you say he sucks and he's not good. You think that the Pacers are just going to be like, sure, yeah, we'll take Nurk and you can have Miles Turner. Like, it's just, you have to think from both sides. And it's like, I hate trying to come up with trade scenarios where it's like, I really have to sit there and think. So for me, the Norman Powell trade still to me wasn't the greatest trade. I don't hate it as much as I did at first, but I still don't necessarily like it that much. I think we probably could have got something a little bit better for Powell. I don't know how much better, but I feel like it could have been better. Covington wasn't like, I wasn't sad to see him leave, but I also wasn't like, thank God he left. He wasn't really, as you can see with him on the Clippers, besides last year where he had that 140-point game, he hasn't really, I mean, he's an older player. I don't watch Clippers too much, so I don't want to comment on it too much because I don't know, but I feel like when I have seen him, it's not been very good. So I feel like we offloaded him at the right time. And so in that part of that trade, I feel like we did good, but including Powell in there just to get under the tax even more just felt kind of like a gift to the Clippers for old Steve Ballmer there. But anyways, we got so sidetracked off of what we were talking about. I don't even remember what we were talking about. What were we talking about?
Unbiased Clippers for a minute.
I don't even remember what we were talking about.
We talked about it was Norman Powell going off for what was like
20. Oh, yes. That's why we lost, because Norman Powell went psycho mode on us. That was a crazy rant to go off on there. So, yeah, we lost to the Clippers. We end up losing the next night to the Lakers. That was pretty disappointing, too. We all hate to lose to the Lakers.
To be fair, it does look like the Lakers have turned a corner and they're beating a lot of teams now. But in the moment, it was rough.
That is true. They seem to, like, I think the last time I saw this graph for defense and offense, and they were like top 10 in both defense and offense. So
they're still 13th seed, surprisingly, but their last 10 is 7-3.
Well, yeah, I mean, they started off real bad, real bad. So they're clawing their way back up. But then we played the Utah Jazz. We beat them. That was an enjoyable game. I don't want to comment much on any of these, so if you do, please feel free to. I didn't get to watch many of them. And then we beat the Pacers as well. So if there's anything you want to talk about on either of those, go for it.
I did finally get to watch most of the games this week. But, you know, nothing hugely that we haven't talked about already. Like, Grant and Simons have been great in pretty much every game. He's obviously had that one huge game, 45, insane shooting. Yeah, nothing, you know, too notable. We did well for playing without Dame in Utah, and that's, you know, a pretty good team that we beat too. And then we saw Dame back against the Pacers. He played pretty good. expecting him to come out a little bit rustier, but I liked how he played, so that was a pretty normal victory.
Thanks for bringing that up.
I don't think Halliburton played either, so it wasn't like we were playing a huge, like a crazy opponent.
Yeah. But
it was a fine game. It was fun to watch. A lot of players did well.
And here's the one thing I will add, because I did watch a little bit of the Pacers game. There was, I know people are frustrated with Nurk, and I believe me, more times than not, I've been frustrated with Nurk. But not to the point that a lot of people are, where they're just like, we have to trade him and he's just so terrible and, you know, all these different things. What are you going to do? You're going to trade Nurkic to get, let's just say from that ranking that we talked about in the preseason, he was like the 15th best center or something like that, if you remember right. Like 15th in the NBA ranked wise.
I don't remember. It was below 10. That's all.
Yeah. So something like that, like 15. Okay. What are you going to do? You're going to trade him from 15 to, let's say he's 17. Okay, let's say he's 17. You're going to trade the 17th best center to get the 14th best center? Like, is that really that much of a difference to you to like just trade him because you're frustrated with him? Or yes, defensively and consistently, he like consistency-wise, he hasn't been playing very well. There's games where he goes off. There's games where it looks like Drew Eubanks, which I want to kind of talk about Drew Eubanks in a second, but there's games where Drew Eubanks looks like he's the new Nurk fever type of guy. But to me, at least in this Pacer game, Nurk was, I'm gonna be honest with you, and I could be totally wrong. So if you guys watched the game and you saw something different, I only saw very few clips, but the clips that I did see where I was able to sit down for a couple seconds and watch, Nurk was bullying Miles Turner in the post, like backing mm-hmm. him down. Like I saw it multiple, like three or four times at least. So I don't know if it happened more than that or if I just somehow got lucky enough to see that. But in the same exact time, he was getting bullied down low as well. And he was pretty much the possessions I saw on defense, he was not providing any rim protection. He was not really helpful on defense. So it was like a double-edged sword. We had him finally, but granted, he wasn't finishing once again at the down in the block. But I'm not on the trade Nurk train as much as a lot of other people are. I still think he's a valuable player. And, you know, if we can get, like, with our roster, if we can get 12 points out of him, 10 rebounds, four, five assists, like, if that's the stat line he puts out, I feel like we win most games. If he's 12, 10, and 4, 5, 6 assists, that's all I would want from him. He doesn't have to be 20 points, 20 rebounds. I'm totally fine with 12, 10, and 5. 12, 10, and 4. Play some physical defense and try to, for the love of God, dunk the ball instead of lay it up and all these little flips. I don't. This is my one. Here you guys go. Here's my one rant for Nurk. I have never seen somebody as big as he is, 7 foot tall, be so soft and finesse. And like, I've always said this in my life, if I was 7 foot tall, I don't think I'd be doing this podcast right now. I think I'd be in the NBA. I would not. There's not a time that I would not be trying to dunk the ball. I don't understand why these dudes, like Blake, remember when Blake Griffin was dunking the ball constantly all the time? And then he came out and said, like, I got to stop dunking so much. It's taking so much out of me. That would be me. I would be trying to dunk every time that I'd be like, dude, I can't dunk anymore. I'm so tired of dunking and blowing my hands up and getting blisters all over my hand from dunking. And I don't know why Nurk doesn't do it. There are so many times that he could just back someone down, power them down, and just Drew Eubanks it, because that seems like that's what Drew Eubanks does. So I don't know why he can't. Rant over. Nurkic, I still love you a little bit. I still do. But yeah, Nurk in that game, a lot of people want Miles Turner instead of Nurk. So you guys kind of got a little glimpse of it. I mean, Miles Turner has his own issues. He's not, if we trade for Nurk, that doesn't solve our problems. At least I don't think it does, but. So that was, I'm out of breath. I'm fat. That was the week in review for us. That was a weird week in review.
That was a nice, fun recap.
So here's something I wanted to talk about, and you brought it up. Jeremy Grant Simons playing out of their minds right now. Like, we talked about this before the podcast went live. We have a roster that has three guys averaging 20 points a game, which I don't recall the last time we had that. I know it's early. I know Dame's only played like 12 games, but you have three guys averaging 20. You have four guys averaging double digits, and Josh Hart is close to averaging double digits. I think he's, last I checked, he was like at 8 points, or maybe it might be nine. I don't know. When was the last time you remember us having five players? It's five starters, five players averaging double digits. Because I don't recall. Maybe, I don't even know if back when we had Batum and Lopez, I don't even know if Lopez averaged double digits. It's probably close.
Either way,
probably,
yeah, it has been at least 8 years, yeah, you know, basically since 2015.
And for sure, I don't even know the last time we had three players averaging 20 points a game or more. I couldn't even tell you.
Most teams in the league don't have that.
Yeah. So for us to have Jeremy Grant at 23 points a game, Simons is at almost 25 points a game, and Lillard is at almost 26 points a game. Like, that is awesome. I love it. Now, defensively, like we've been talking about last episode, we're starting to plateau a little bit. We're starting to see.
It's been worse than plateau.
Yeah, plateau isn't the best. We're on a sharp decline right now.
Yeah, we are taking a nosedive.
Last time you checked, you said we were like last in the league or something like that, like the last 10 games or something.
Yeah, the last, I think it was before our two wins, our two most recent wins. But yeah, the last 10 games before that, we were 29th in the league in defense for only that 10 game period, not like in the sure. league.
Which granted, it's a tough schedule, but still to go from 8th in the league to the 29th, that's just as crazy of a rise as it was. That's just as crazy of a drop as it was.
Overall, we're sitting at 24th right now, which is, you know, it's still pretty bad.
Yeah. Bottom half of the league there.
Bottom seven.
Yeah, that's true. With all that being said, this is what I wanted to ask you. Jeremy Grant, Anthony Simons, do you think they have a legitimate chance if they continue to play semi close to what they're playing now? Do they have a legitimate chance of being all-stars? What's crazy, and we talked about this before, this is the first year where I feel like we have two players that have a chance to make the all-star team, and neither one of them are named Damian Lillard. Not because Dame's not good, it's just Dame hasn't played as many games. So first and foremost, let's do Simons. Do you see a way that he could make it? Do you think it's possible?
So that's just what we kind of talked about this a little bit, like just before recording, but looking at the players in the West, a lot of the guys who are, you know, killing it right now, a lot of them are guards. So, mm-hmm. you know, in my opinion, I see Steph, Luka, Ja, and probably, Booker, I would say, is a lock too. So those are four guards that are, in my opinion, if they're healthy, like if they stay healthy until the All-Star game, they're locks to make the All-Star game, whether they start or come off the bench. And so there's four guards that are like, four spots are reserved for guards, and it can only be up to six. Let's say all six are, you know, used for guards. That only leaves two spots for two spots between Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, De'Aaron Fox, Dame, Simons, Anthony Edwards, and those five. That's pretty tough competition. If our record stays good, if we get into like the top four seeds, I think that helps Simon's case a lot. But right now, I feel like SGA. Okay, I think Fox. If the Kings keep playing how they're playing, I think Fox might take one of those spots, and the other one, I think it would probably go to Dame, assuming he stays healthy. Just because he has that name recognition more than Simon's. But you know, if Dame does miss a couple of more games, he might not make it either. Then it might go to Shai. It'll probably go to Shai. But I think, you know, if one of those six, seven guys I named are injured, I think, you know, Simons is the next guy up. And every single year you have one or two injury replacements, sometimes more than two. So he's definitely in that conversation. But I had to put money on it, which I have been doing a lot lately. I would say no, but he's, you know, one or two guys get hurt, I think he makes it.
Yeah, you just mentioned that you've been putting a lot of money. So if you're not in Discord and you guys are into sports betting, we created a channel in our Discord for sports betting, and we're all in there talking about our bets, sharing our bets, getting opinions on our bets. So if that's something you're into, feel free to join Discord and hop in on that sports betting. But no, let me. I agree with a lot of what you said. Let me go over last year's players that made it guard wise. So we have Curry, we have Ja, and then we had Devin Booker, Luka, and Donovan Mitchell, which Donovan Mitchell now is no longer in the West. He's in the East. And then we had Murray, who got hurt. So I believe Chris Paul replaced him, but I could be wrong. Sorry. Draymond Green was hurt and Murray replaced Draymond. That's what it was. Okay. So we had DeJounte Murray and Chris Paul also in the All-Star game. I don't believe Chris Paul is going to make it. Yeah. Murray is now in the East, so he's not there. Donovan Mitchell's not there. So like you said, it leaves two spots open because I think everyone else that made it is going to make it. Yeah. So, or I guess that's three spots technically, isn't it? But who didn't make it was, who am I forgetting here? Devin Booker, Ja, Steph, Luka. I guess that's four, so there's two. Yeah, okay. So, with that being said, I think, and this is still the All-Star game and everything is still so far away, so much can change. But if it were to happen today, you got Shea, who I think would make it because he's playing, even with their team being as bad as they are, he's playing unbelievable. And I could see where you would say Fox, but honestly, I would go for Simons over Fox at this point. I don't think Dame has played enough to make the All-Star game right now. If he continues to keep playing, then yeah, I think he probably will, just off of his name alone. But I don't believe, if it came down between Fox and Simons, I almost feel like Simons averaging a little bit more points, just slightly under on the assists, I think they would go with Simons.
I think,
but who knows?
My reasoning would be that, yeah, Simon's averaging like 1.5 more points, but Fox has been, you know, a lot more efficient, and he's been the lead guy on the Kings, whereas Simon's is like the number two-ish. So I think, you know, they might go with lead guy on, you know, one team versus the number two on the other, even though you can make the argument that he's been the number one this year so far. And also, you know, Kings are the 5 seed right now. If they keep that up, if they're top 3, top 4 seed, I think, you know, a lot of voters reward those higher seeds, even if the player's a little bit worse. So if we're, you know, 6 or 7 and they're like 4, I think the edge goes to Fox.
Yeah, and that's totally fair, because I do agree that I do think when it comes down closer to players, that there should be accountability for what the team itself has done. Like, obviously Shea's team, the Thunder, terrible team, but what he's doing still is impressive enough to make he's averaging 31 points right now. So I mean, he is, if Dame was averaging 31 points and it was one of those years where we, like, let's just say last year, if Dame's averaging 31 points a game and he's played pretty much every game, you would be pissed off if Dame did not make the All-Star game. So I have to give props when they're due, and Shea is a very good player.
So the Thunder haven't been that bad. Like, their seeding is really bad, but the West, and honestly the whole league, is really close this year, that their actual record is not too far off from like the higher seeds. Like, they're two games below us only, and even though it's like 5 different seeds, and they're only like 4 games out of the third seed. 4 games is not a lot, so it's, you know, it's a very tight race, standings wise right now. Obviously it's early, so it's a little bit to be expected, but it's a little bit closer than I would have thought.
And let me put it this way. There is no way in this world that 3 Blazers make it.
Yeah.
At most there's going to be 2. At most we will have 2. I mean, it was pretty crazy that there was 3 from the Warriors It was crazy. It was really crazy when there was four from Detroit back in like 2008, I believe, 2000, maybe even earlier than that. But there's only going to be at most two. It's either going to be Lillard, Simons, or Grant. Two of those combinations. So here's my next question. The likelihood that Jeremy Grant makes the All-Star game. I personally think there's more likelihood that Jeremy Grant makes it over Simons. But I don't believe, I'll be honest with you, I don't feel like Dame's going to make it, which is going to be crazy.
I'm scared of that too, but if he stays healthy for these next 2 months until the All-Star game, I think he'll make it. Just yeah. Right so far, you know, if the vote was today, I don't think he makes it.
And honestly, the All-Star game doesn't mean anything other than just like, yay, yay, me, I'm an All-Star. I mean, some players who was it? Was it Gobert or was it Towns who was crying?
When they made it, I think it was Towns.
Yeah. So, I mean, some people care a lot more about it than others, but truly it doesn't mean much. It's mostly just an exhibition game for fun. Yeah, we want to see Dame out there, but I truly don't think Dame would honestly care too much at this point.
He cared a little bit more earlier in his career, but I think he's...
Yeah. You know. So... I think Jeremy Grant can make it. And before I throw it to you, let me throw out. We had LeBron make it last year. Jokic make it last year, which obviously both of those are going to make it. Wiggins made it last year, which I don't think is going to make it this year. Draymond Green got injured and replaced by Murray. So there's no way in hell Draymond Green's making it. I got a better chance of making it than he does. You heard it here first. Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns also made it. Karl Anthony Towns not going to make it just because of injury. I don't believe Gobert is done enough.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I don't believe Gobert's done enough to make it. But, you know, who knows? It's a fan vote, and I believe even for the reserves.
I'm telling you right now.
Actually, you're right. That's a good point. It is a fan vote. He ain't making it. That's a good point. So that at least leaves three spots open there with just Green, Gobert, and Towns, and then technically four if you want to count Wiggins as well. I think there's a good chance that Jeremy Grant makes it. He's playing unbelievable right now, both offensively and defensively. There's honestly not much I could say against Jeremy Grant, really. I mean, he's doing it. He's picked up his free throw numbers. He's attempting more free throws. He's shooting... this might be his career best from three this year. I could be wrong.
It is by far.
But, I mean, he's just... Oh, yeah. God. Good God. He's shooting 46%. I hope that's his career best. I mean, he's doing everything. So, to me, he makes it. To me, he's more of a lock than any of Simons or Dame, honestly. I do think if Dame does play the rest of the games, he's got a pretty good chance of making it just because of his name. But... to me, play-wise, I think Jeremy Grant... I would be shocked if Jeremy Grant wasn't. As long as he keeps playing the way he has, I'd be shocked if he wasn't an All-Star.
I'm biased, but I also think he should be an All-Star. But I think it's going to be a lot tougher than you're saying because, you know, a lot of last year's guys dropped out, but there were a lot of guys who didn't make it last year because they were hurt. Like, Paul George is back in the mix. Zion is back in the mix. Lauri Markkanen has been playing insane. There's some stiff competition there too. And, you know, we were talking about how the six guard positions, the six positions could all be used by guards. So that leaves six for forwards. Jokic, LeBron, that's two. So that leaves four spots. I think AD has been playing out of his mind. And if he stays healthy, which is a big if with him, make it. So that leaves three spots. You know, Wiggins made it because of the K-pop fan vote, but he has been playing better than last year, so I think he could still be in the mix. I don't think he makes it, but I don't think it's to write him off just yet. So, you know, Wiggins is in the mix. Paul George, he has missed a fair amount of games too, so that could be in Grant's favor. So we have Wiggins, Paul George, Markkanen, Jeremy Grant. That's four, Zion, and Is Ingram a forward? Yeah, Ingram is a forward, but he's also missed a lot of games himself, and he hasn't been that great. So I think it's pretty unlikely that Ingram makes it, but I'll mention his name too. So that's six guys and three spots. You know, I do think I would take him of those six guys, but not going to be as easy as we'd like to hope. I think probably, so of Wiggins, Markkanen, PG, Grant, and Zion, and Ingram, I would probably go with Zion. I'd go with Zion, Markkanen, and probably go with Grant. But yeah, I'd probably go Zion, Markkanen, Grant. But PG is like right there. His numbers.
Well, let me ask you this: if there's six forwards, okay. Let's just say six guards, six forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis and LeBron James. That's two. Zion. That's three. Then we have three more spots. We got Paul George, Jeremy Grant, Lauri Markkanen, and Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, Jokic.
Oh, shoot. You're right. I totally forgot about Jokic. Yep. You're right. That makes it a little more difficult. So now I see. Now I see. That's why it was in my head. I was like, I'm liking those odds. You're right. So it comes down between Paul George, Jeremy Grant, Markkanen, which Markkanen's playing very good basketball as well, and Ingram.
His efficiency is ridiculous.
Yeah. And you could throw, like you said, Wiggins has been playing well. He's almost averaging 20 points. He's shooting 50%, over 50%.
And 45, I think, 32.
Oh, yeah, he is. Holy cow. And the only thing I feel like is holding him back is because the Warriors aren't playing as well, which they have picked it up a little bit. But there's also one other player we talked about before the podcast started, and Sabonis has been playing pretty well too. So the Kings could have, you know, they could have De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis in at, you know, possibly. I don't think that happens, but I feel like we have a better chance of having two in than the Kings do. But
imagine a world where the Kings have two All-Stars.
Tides are turning, okay? I'm happy for the Kings. I mean,
I am too.
That'd be a tough fan base. That'd be a tough team to be a fan of. They've been through a lot.
They deserve some happiness.
And, you know, I feel bad because in one time I beat De'Aaron Fox in 2K. So, you know, I got to give him a little.
But you played De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah, me and a friend played him in the park one time.
No way, that's crazy.
It was the highlight of my life, I think. No, not the highlight, but at one point I was way too hyped for it. So, but yeah, I do think it's possible. To me, if I had to pick, Jeremy Grant makes it, and if Dame stays healthy, I think Dame makes it just off of his name. So I think we have two All-Stars. Something that Dame's, you know, we've all been saying, like, it's, we need to get Dame an All-Star. I do think we have, whether he gets it or not, I do think, I consider Jeremy Grant an All-Star. And I want to apologize to whoever's seen me talk before. I, for some reason, swear to God, I thought he had made an All-Star game once before. And I'd been going around saying, no, he's been an All-Star already. But I was wrong. He never has been. I don't know where I thought that. But it'd just be a crazy world if Simons and Grant made it and Dame didn't. And it's like, we've finally got two All-Stars and Dame's not one of them.
Right now, if you put a gun to my head, assuming no injury replacement, I think Grant is the only one. Three who make the All-Star game, and that's probably
I actually agree.
A hot take, because leaving Dame off is tough, but that's what I'm feeling.
I mean Dame definitely is gonna have to play more games if he's gonna make it. I don't think, because he plays in Portland,
preface that because of Dame's missed games, assuming he might like ease into it a little bit too, maybe take back-to-backs off.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of their plan anyways. Yeah, I mean, he plays in a small market. He's not like Yao Ming had China's vote. Tracy McGrady had China's vote because of Yao Ming. Like, even though there were seasons where Tracy and Yao didn't hardly play, they were still getting top of the votes for All-Stars because of just that solely. So Dame doesn't have that benefit, I don't feel like. So it's going to be interesting. And there's still a long ways to go. Something crazy could happen. There could be more injuries that take out players. Hopefully that's not the issue, but it's interesting. But that is something I wanted to talk about, because if it does feel like we finally have a second All-Star. So that's exciting. But I wanted to get to the questions before we wrap up that we we got asked in Discord. So if you're not in Discord, once again, that's the place to be. There's links all over the place, and we can get you links if you need one. And Discord is super easy to use, so don't be intimidated by something you've never heard of if you don't know what it is. First question from Rip City. I think this is the second time he's asked a question, so shout out to Rip City for two questions here. Should we make a trade to improve our bench offensively, or will we just be fine? And if we had to make a trade, which ones do you have in mind? So, I'm still of the mindset, offense is not our issue, defense is, and we've been dealing with injury issues. So I don't necessarily think we need to make trades to improve our bench offensively. I'm not opposed to the idea of it, but I feel like our bench, yeah, is not offensively like lighting it up, but there's a lot of players coming off the bench that are better defensive players than I think we give credit for. And still, we haven't had Gary Payton yet, and he most likely is going to be coming off the bench. So you're going to have Payton coming off the bench. I'm going to assume
not helping our offense too much.
Gary Payton? Yeah, I mean, he probably won't help too much offensively. But when you have him out there just playing, you know, defense against the best player, I don't think our offense is going to be hurting that much. We're going to get a lot more transition baskets. He in Golden State, he didn't get a lot of offensive like focus, so it's hard to compare like his stats from last year. He shot decent in Golden State. I feel like almost everybody does somehow. There must be something in the water, but and he obviously is a very athletic player and can, you know, drive and play, you know, get some highlight dunks and stuff. So I don't think he's like Tony Allen, where he's just, you know, you put him out there for defense and you just hope to God he gets some kind of wide open layup on offense because he can't do anything else. But I don't expect a lot from him offensively. But I'm okay with that because I really truly feel like our offense is not a problem. It's our defense, and it always has been our defense. So what's your opinion? Should we make a trade for our bench for offensive purposes?
I'm pretty much in agreement with you. I think our issues are on the defensive end. Offense will come around. I'm a little bit surprised that it hasn't, you know, it's still as rusty as it is. Like you said, we've had injuries. People are coming in and out of the lineup. And we're relying on some young guys too. Despite all that, we're still 11th in offense. It's pretty surprising to me. However, I'm looking at the... Apparently NBA.com has the bench offensive ratings too. I feel like they didn't have that last year, but I could be wrong. Anyways, I'm looking at these numbers, which first of all seem a little bit weird to me, so I'm not 100% sure they're reliable. But we are 29th actually in bench offense, which is surprising to me. But I don't think that would be... That still wouldn't be our priority in terms of trades, like you said. Defense is a priority, and overall we're still doing just fine on offense. So I'm not, you know, overly worried about that.
Yeah, I think something we've had in the past is we've had benches where our offense wasn't very well and our defense was just as bad. So you put them in, and, you know, if we have a lead, we're losing the lead because they can't play defense, and then they're not good enough offensively to, you know, keep a lead or, you know, keep, you know, add to the lead. So if you're putting your bench in prior years, you're pretty much just saying, we're only doing this because we have to give Lillard, you know, all the starters a break, and then they need to come back in and bring us back. Because to me, if you can have your bench come in and just play defense where you're just giving Dame 5 minutes of a break, where the team is just playing great defense and not allowing the other team to score, and maybe the score doesn't change. Maybe for 5 minutes, there's 5 points on both sides, and it's like, that's it. To me, I would rather have my bench be more defensive minded and come out and lock people down than be offensive minded and give up leads. And so I don't think bench wise offensively is our issue, but I can see why people think that, because truly, I mean, we have Shaedon Sharpe and Drew are the two most offensively, like, those are the two that usually score the most points offensively for us.
Wait, who?
Sharpe and Eubanks, I would say. I mean, I guess Winslow, I mean, technically Winslow's not coming off the bench right now, but he normally does.
Has Drew been scoring that much? I feel like he hasn't.
I mean, not a lot. Not a lot. There's a reason why we're that low in defense, or, you know. But, I mean, I feel like he's averaging almost 6 points a game. So, I mean, I don't know who else on our bench is averaging more than six. I don't think. I mean, I guess Nas probably was getting close to that, but, I mean, obviously we know he's not there right now, so that hurts a little bit. Unfortunately, I feel like Watford hasn't taken a step. We kind of talked about this. He's not been terrible, but he also hasn't, like, I don't know. Granted, I haven't watched a lot of games. I just haven't been as thrilled about him as I was last year, and I totally could just be missing it because I haven't watched as many games, but so correct me if I'm wrong. I just feel like he's kind of been, I don't even want to say bad.
He's
just not
a
been
underwhelming, but I feel like he's had a couple good games recently. So maybe he's turning a corner. Yeah. Overall, I'd say he's been a little bit underwhelming.
And it looks like Justice Winslow's averaging almost 8 points a game. So, I mean, eight. At last I checked, Sharpe was averaging eight. So, I mean, really our bench offensively, like Rip City says, is not offensively not very good. And that's, I'm okay with that right now. We'll see what happens with Gary Payton. But who knows? So thank you, Rip City, for that question. And I totally don't mind talking with you in Discord about it or on another podcast with you about it. So the next question we have is from James 2. Josh Hart often gets brought up as our most valuable trade asset, which is something we talked about in our last podcast. But he has also largely been credited as the heart and soul of the team with his intensity and tenacity on both ends of the floor. Should we try to find a way to keep him? Should we trade him at the deadline? So my opinion still hasn't changed from the last one. I still want to find a way to re-sign him because I think he's a very valuable piece. But I also can 100% understand why some people would want to try to move him and try to get a different piece here, because he is a valuable piece. So I get it, but I'm still of the mindset I would rather have him on my team than not.
Yep, I'm on the same boat.
So to me, it's a fair question because it is. He is a, I mean, how many times has he been traded? Like four times now? Four or five times?
Only twice. Nope.
Yeah. I thought.
From LA.
Or no. You're right.
AD and now to us.
Yep. You're right. Forget that. I'm taking it out. Teams want him because he's a good player. He's a good piece to have. So I get that question. We have Maverick also. Trendon Watford and Justice Winslow largely have the same skill set on our roster, full of defensive glue guys. Should we try to ship Winslow at the deadline and gamble on Watford's development, or should we stick with the same, with the sure thing in Winslow for now? Like I said, I go for it. You go first.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you asked me before the season, I would have said, yeah, trade Winslow, and I think Watford will fill that role in. I'm not so sure anymore. I think we should just keep both. You know, first of all, you can't have enough defensive glue guys on your team. The more the merrier. But I don't think, first of all, I don't think Winslow is even going to net that much in a trade. I think he also, as a veteran, he's a little bit more reliable. And if he gets hurt or if he has a cold stretch, I think, you know, Watford can come in. And hopefully by the end of the season, Watford continues improving and we see a little bit more of that jump that we were hoping for. And then maybe then we can trade Winslow, or it's just good to have both. But I don't think we should look to trade Winslow.
And I might be butchering this name, but Al Kabi said the exact same thing. He doesn't know if there's any value for Winslow, like that would be worth giving him up. And honestly, that's how I feel with Watford too. I don't know if there's any, if he would, he would get, I don't know if there's value, like his value is high enough to be worth trading, you know, for a different player. Or I feel like trading for picks, unless it's like a first round pick, is just useless. So I don't know. I'm of the same mindset that we just keep on both, just because I don't think their value is high enough to get anything of value for us. But I do agree with you. I think it's good to have defensive glue guys on our team. So it's a weird situation to be in. And Maverick, thank you for the question, because I don't know. I don't even know if we decided to trade either one of them. I don't even know like what you could like potentially get for them. What, like, I don't know. I feel like Winslow is more valuable to us this year and next year than Watford could be. Is that crazy to say?
I don't think it's
crazy. Not that Watford's bad. Yeah. I just feel like
I don't think that's
crazy. Winslow provides defense and offense, like not offense as far as scoring wise necessarily, but he pushes the pace. He's a good playmaker and just, you know, he makes pretty solid passes. So I feel like that's just something I could rely on more than I could with Watford.
I don't think that's a crazy take. I'd have to think about it a little bit more.
And James also mentioned that you could do these trades just to free up money to re-sign Grant and Hart. And that's true. That's very true. And I'm going to be honest with you. If it came down to keeping Grant and Hart or keeping only one of those two and Winslow and Watford, I definitely think I would pick Grant and Hart. I don't know. I'm not a cap guy, so I don't know how much of a difference it would make. I think, isn't Winslow on his last year this year, or has he still got one more?
No, I think he's on his last year.
Okay, so I know Trendon has a contract with us still, but Winslow's gone after this year unless we decide to, you know, extend him somehow, re-sign him. So I appreciate the question, Maverick. It's definitely a tough question right now to answer. Now, he also added to it, Winslow could also be like a complimentary piece in another trade, you know, like here's an extra player to, you know, help this trade go through. And that's very possible. And so could Watford. That could be the exact same thing. You know, maybe we do decide to move Nurk and you throw in Watford for, you know, to help that trade. Or here's my hot take before we end. Actually, before I say this, do you have anything you want to talk about before we end?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, we're going to leave on this hot take and we're going to talk about this on the next podcast. Here's my hot take. It's not too hot because we've talked about it before, but it is still pretty hot. I'm of the opinion that we should still be trading Simons. Don't say nothing.
Can't leave on that.
We'll save it for the next one because I think that will be a good thing to talk about. But I am of the opinion, just because of, And nothing against Simons. I love Simons. He's a good player, and he's look, I'm already getting into it. Stop. Nope. That's next episode. Episode, we're talking about that.
You're gonna make me wait a week to discuss this.
Build the notes. We're ready. Anybody that's listening right now, if you are against it or for it, please in Discord and on Twitter, wherever, let us know. Give us your opinion on it. Trading Simons. Do you think it's a good move? Do you think it's a bad move? Am I crazy for suggesting it? I want to know. And we are going to talk about it on the next episode.
I hate to.
But if you are, go for it.
I hate to add another cliffhanger before we end up, but there's another topic I just remembered, but it might, you know, kind of a long one. So we'll leave that for the next episode, too.
Are you going to tease it?
Sure. I don't want your thoughts on it, and I'm not going to give my thoughts, but, you know, everyone else can think about it. Gary Payton has been out for a while. Very little updates. So what do we think is happening with that?
Yeah, that's a good thing to talk about too. I'm glad you said that. Okay, if you are listening, please chime in. If you're here at this point in the podcast, let us know your opinions on those two, because we're going to talk about it on the next episode.
Let us know on Discord.
Thank you for listening. Say that again.
Let us know your thoughts on those two topics on Discord.
Yes. Or Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, Gmail, Hotmail, whatever other mail is out there. Email, postmail, female mail, whatever you got, bring it on. But anyways, seriously, thank you for listening. We love you all. And as always, Rip City, baby.